Translation. In his previous birth, Kamsa had been a great demon named Kalanemi and been killed by Vishnu. Upon learning this information from Narada, Kamsa became envious of everyone connected with the Yadu dynasty. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are demons, enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are called asuras. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the asuras, because of their enmity towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, take birth after birth in asura families and therefore glide down to the darkest hellish regions. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swam Itinam Ne Namaste Sarasvati Devam Guravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashkati Desatarne. In his previous birth, Kamsa had been a great demon named Kalanemi and had been killed by Vishnu. Upon learning this information from Narada, Kamsa became envious of everyone connected with the Yadu dynasty. So as we know, it is not the first time Kamsa was fighting with Krishna. Being actually previously a gatekeeper in Vaikuntha, which is a very privileged position. The demons of this caliber mentioned here, they are not the ordinary demons. They are actually devotees in disguise of demons, because as Prabhupada describes, the mocking and the fighting spirit is in God also. But who is he going to fight with in a spiritual world where everybody is worshipping him as a devotee? There's a problem. Who is he going to fight with? Nobody is inimical toward him and nobody challenges him. But as sometimes even friends have a mock fight and they challenge each other, and boys do that. Gurukula is full of this. You see them always pushing and, you know, and pushing and running and kicking. And so Krishna also has that kind of spirit. He sometimes would like to have a good fight. But there's a problem. First of all, in the spiritual world, there's nobody his enemy. And second of all, in the material world, everybody is so weak. It's incompatible. You know, who is going to fight with Krishna in an appropriate way? Krishna, just by a little move of the material energy, just a little tsunami or a little earthquake, everybody is finished. So nobody can stand up to that kind of power. So it has to be a devotee who actually will play that role of a demon, especially empowered one. So there is some compatible match to fight. So Kamsa certainly was, we have sometimes the pictures that this was some kind of ugly monsters or something. No, this was actually a highly, you could say, cultured personalities. They were even in knowledge of the Shastra, but of course they interpreted the Shastra always in their favor. And they were even informed about the previous lifetimes. They had the darshan of Narada Muni. I mean, who's going to meet Narada Muni to inform you about your previous life? You have to be also very specially qualified for that. So this was the demons of the highest qualification, you know. Ravana also, very, very, very cultured person actually. Of course, kidnapping some lady here and there, that's what they always do. So ultimately the demonic nature comes out. So Prabhupada is commenting here, such persons of any caliber are always confined to be born again in asuric families, and they glide down like this. They degrade more and more to lower caliber demon, up to the little demon. So, of course, Kamsa had the privilege that he was also personally killed by Lord Vishnu. So certainly he was immediately liberated. He returned. So this is also a very privileged position. Normally we are killed by the material energy, by the agent. We are all in remote control. Krishna is not visible, therefore people also say, where is God? I don't see him. Because why should you see him? What will you do with him? Why should God reveal it, you know, himself to somebody who anyway doesn't want to see him? So he is not like a waiter, you know, in a restaurant. Please, waiter, come, you know. And the waiter appears, yes sir, how can I serve you? It's not like this. So people, as long as they maintain this attitude, yeah, Krishna will either not reveal himself, or he reveals himself in such an illusory form that they think, oh yeah, this is God. Yeah, this is, in some religions, you know, which are now also prominent in the world, it's even forbidden to see God in a personal form. Why? Well, who knows what you will see? You are so unqualified that better you worship some black stone or whatever, but don't actually, what is status is not in these scriptures that God doesn't have a personal form. It's that one shouldn't imagine a personal form. So we are not entitled to imagine how God should look like. I just heard a lecture from Prabhupada. One is saying, what is God? And, you know, obviously some hippie visitor. He said, God is love. Prabhupada said, that's just a quality, but this doesn't define anything about his form and about his person. God is love. Okay? It's just a quality. Usually people come up at best with some expectation how God should express himself. But they still don't know anything about his person. Most of the people is abstract. I remember when I joined this movement, first time confronted with a picture of a blue boy playing flute, and they told me this is God. I said nothing could be more bizarre. I even remember that feeling. I said, how can you limit God to such a simple painting? You know, what? Because if there is God, there must be something very big, some energy, some big. You know, because God is big. It cannot be a coward boy playing flute, watching cows grazing. What is this? But of course, what makes one to join this movement is the first experience for those who have no culture, and I'm a perfect Varnashankara boy. I have no culture, no background, nothing. Those who come from India, they are a little bit more compromised in that regard, that they have a culture originally, and they have a background. That makes it even more severe when you neglect that. I had nothing to neglect because I had nothing. You know, we just joined by seeing a devotee and seeing Srila Prabhupada. I remember first time I saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada, I was going, oh, who is this? Because I immediately knew this is something else. There, the fun is over. I even met people when distributing books on the street who just told me, holding Bhagavad Gita backwards with a picture of Prabhupada, they said, I will never buy such a book. I know this picture. He always looks at me and wants something from me. You know, because you cannot stay kind of neutral in the presence of Prabhupada. And you cannot stand neutral in the presence of Krishna consciousness. Either you join or you don't know. That was even in Prabhupada's lecture even happened. A man jumped suddenly up. Normal looking man. He said, enough! It's enough of this talking here about God. I hate this. Stop it. And devotees were like, oh, you know. Prabhupada smiled and said, oh, then you are a demon. And devotees were like, whoa, we have a demon here. Wow. And the man screamed back, yes, I'm a demon. Prabhupada said, okay. Thank you for the information. He's a demon. You know. When Prabhupada appeared, most amazing things happened. You know. I remember these recordings, you can listen. Kind of obviously in India, a very distinguished scholar of Bhagavad Gita being introduced to Prabhupada. You can hear how devotees respectfully introduced. This is Prabhupada, this is this gentleman, he's so nice. He knows Bhagavad Gita and he's studying. So Prabhupada goes, yes, welcome. So you know Bhagavad Gita? Oh yeah, I know Bhagavad Gita. And then comes the shlokas, you know, and he quotes immediately, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And Prabhupada goes, that's nice. So you know who spoke Bhagavad Gita? Oh yes, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Do you know Krishna? Oh yeah, Krishna is the unborn Brahman, and blah, 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 the classical Mayavadi definition, okay? And you can hear on the tape, you can have people go, oh,
to Mayavadi.
It didn't take 3 minutes of Prabhupada to actually get him to immediately uncover the whole thing. You know, behind all the studies, he doesn't know. Then Prabhupada makes an interesting point. He goes, actually, we are not so much interested what is spoken. We always want to know who is speaking. Therefore, we are very interested to find out who is this Krishna. Because so often you meet people, they quote this and they read that, but nobody knows the author. You know, so many books, so many ideas, but who is speaking? And then you find out, oh, the author commits suicide. Oh, the author is mad. Oh, the author is insane. You know, that was how I renounced my heroes when I read all the books before I joined this movement. When I found out that the author is insane, he commits suicide, he is crazy, I was thinking, oh, maybe when I read these books, I also become like this. So everything is personal in Krishna consciousness. This whole movement came about by one person, by the personal example of Srila Prabhupada, who actually performed devotional service in front of us without us even knowing that. So we were all copying that. It's like children, they copy a parent, you know, yes, yes, the parents do like that, we do also like that. In one sense, we are still doing that. I feel still I'm doing that like that. You know, it's just, okay, Prabhupada said we should do like that, we do like that. Okay, okay. But while you are doing this, and that's what Prabhupada told us right from the beginning, he said, ultimately, it's not a copy. You are not copying anything. It's you acting. Before you were copying, before you were fake, you were all acting on external impulses, being told what to do, trying to imagine some identity you have, trying to be somebody you are not. But actually, that person who is chanting and dancing, this is you. And that's where the real person comes out. Before, we are just merging with the crowd, you know, kind of anonymously. You can see it every day. They go to work. It's just all looking the same. All cities are the same, basically. It's all the same. Wherever you go, the talking is the same. Hello, how is the weather? How is the money? How is the and holiday? Very, very nice. And ha, la, 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 la. It's all the same thing. It's boring. It's all the same. Ha, ha, ha. They celebrate on the same time. You know, it's Sylvester. Ha, boom, boom, boom. It's Christmas. Suddenly everybody gets a tree. Nobody knows why. You know, we're all these rituals. They always tell us, you are following all these rituals. What about your rituals? At least we can say where our rituals come from. Can you tell me where your Christmas tree is coming from? It's not from the Bible. No, no way in the Bible Jesus says, whoever is my disciple has to get a Christmas tree. Just come on, please. You know, where do you get all this from? And all this looking for eggs, and oh, it's Eastern, and all this, and all eggs, Eastern, where is this coming from? You know, and everybody's doing it. And everybody's talking about it, and Easter is coming, and Christmas is coming, and holiday is coming, and it's like pre-programmed sheeps. You know, you think, what? Why? Do you know why are you doing this? You know why? No, everybody's doing it. So far, I'm doing it. Well, what kind of sect you are joined here, there? You know, who brainwashed you like this? Then they come to us and they go, yeah, all the same Hare Krishna, chanting the same, eating the same, bowing down like this. Yeah, you know. What do you think? What is your opinion? You know, my opinion. No, I have to say honestly, I don't have an opinion. My opinion. Well, what kind of opinion? How do I create an opinion? I have to get an information, right? Where do you get the information from? Newspaper, TV, media, all this. You just repeat. Then they say, well, you repeat all the time too. What is your opinion? My opinion is that within Krishna consciousness, that's the secret. When you practice, then the real personality comes out and how it comes out. If you want to see the biggest collection of the biggest eccentric individuals on this planet, join ISKCON. That's where you find them. Most extreme personalities. You know, why? You have to be extreme. Why? Because you have to go against the stream. You have to say no. You know? In my generation when I joined, there was only three choices basically. I was 18 years old. I joined, you could become a drug addict, terrorist, or Hare Krishna. Basically, these three choices were there. I thought Hare Krishna is the best. Terrorist to blow something up, yeah, I felt sometimes really like that. I would like to blow it up, yeah. But it's so cheap. You just blow something up and that's it. Yeah. The insurance pays for it and that was it. And the police gets a better equipment and that's it. There's a result of this. I said, this is so stupid. Drug addict? No. I never took drugs in my life because I want to have a control. And I knew, and I come from a generation where even the postman was taking LSD, you know. It's just like everybody tried something. Not because they were actually addicted, but they were experimenting. Everybody tried something, you know. I had friends who said, you know, look, I got it on the street. It's interesting. You know, I was going, do you know what it is? I don't know, but let's see. I mean, for me, it was too dangerous. And I was going, whoa, whoa, whoa. I never saw these people coming back again to the same point they started. They landed like a little bit off and never came back. So I was thinking, whoa, this is a little bit too dangerous. That actually included in my life even ladies, because I found them also very intoxicating. And I was thinking, oh, I have no control. Be careful. It's a dangerous experiment. You never know what you get, you know. And it is. It is a very dangerous experiment, actually. You never know what you get. So, you know, it's like, they were like, for me, like from another planet, you know. You know, you don't know what they will do there. So that kept me relatively safe, you know, until I met devotees. And then finally, yeah, I was informed. Yeah, you are right. I remember once in Sankirtan, I met a boy. He just walked really depressed. And he said, I'm crazy. And I told him, really? You don't look to me so crazy. But they are telling me, oh, I'm crazy. And I said, well, what about if they are the majority and they are all crazy and you are normal? Well, then, of course, they will tell you you are crazy, okay? And he said, oh, that's an interesting idea. He got really inspired. Maybe I'm the only one who is sane. It's an interesting idea. I never thought like this. And as a matter of fact, as Bhagavad Gita says, what is night for them is day for us, and what is day for us is night for them. It will be never one. You cannot hide a devotee. You cannot stop him being a devotee. Even you can dress in all kinds of ways, they know. In New York in the early days on Sankirtan, I heard, when devotees first time stopped, you know, just doing Harinam, and the book distribution came up, along with that, devotees also start to change dress and start to go like normal and, you know, like blend with the crowd. And they couldn't. They couldn't. In a police record, there was actually in a police station in New York, you find Hare Krishnas on the street. You know how? They are smiling and they shine. Because nobody else is smiling and shining. So it's just, they stick out of the crowd. Especially when you distribute books, you become so blissful. You just go, and who's doing this on the street? People are just, everybody just, you know, it's all one big gray mush out there, you know. And then when you go, Haribol, and it's just, and what devotees can do, it's unbelievable. I mean, you have right away the photo there in the, you know, for this marathon was printed this card, you know, with the extra USB with all the Sankirtan talk on it. You have it here also, isn't it? Something like that. You look at the picture on that card. It's Prabhupada coming out of the Radha Krishna temple, crossing street, and devotees are lying here and there, and you know, and one is just lying, just, you know, and completely aloof from what the people are saying, and that we are actually on the street, and you know, they don't care. Prabhupada, dandavat, jai, boom, you know, yeah. It's devotees are like that. They don't belong to this world. We are all misplaced people. You know, we don't belong here actually. We are just trying to serve Krishna in a material world, which is not an easy thing to do. Prabhupada said it's very difficult to start a spiritual movement in a material world. Because everybody came here to forget Krishna and we are remembering him on Krishna. The whole art of book distribution, it doesn't belong here. This book shouldn't exist. And the way how they are distributed is completely unconventional. Actually, Prabhupada never introduced the art of book distribution. He even said, my spiritual master told me to print these books. How to distribute them? Well, he didn't tell me that. And Prabhupada never gave a book distribution seminar. He gave only one guiding mantra for that. How should one approach people? My dear sir, you are so great, you are so knowledgeable, you are so beautiful, you are so powerful. Could you please forget all this for 1 minute and accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You know? So that's general rule. You go to the people humbly, but actually you have the book. You know, yeah. And they go, yes, okay. Maybe I'm qualified to take the book. And Vijay Prabhu, he walks around, he goes, when he meets a couple, you know, girl, boy, he goes, who is more intelligent of you? You know, and of course always the girl goes, me. Nowadays it's always the girl. So, oh, then you are qualified to take this book. You know, well, maybe, yeah, that's only for specially intelligent people, isn't it? Yes, that's me. Yeah. So, you know, the Sankirtan devotees, they are like underground guerrillas, you know. They just sneak up on the fortress of the conditioned soul. They have these bodies, you know, fortified by false ego, you know, fortified by false designations, even by a big car. That's me, right? I come out here. Ha! All these little kamsas coming out, you know, just, yeah, that's me. And then comes the little spaced out Hare Krishna, you know. Just, excuse me. Yes, what do you want? So the first thing, now comes a little Sankirtan seminar. The first thing, you block the senses. Because they are completely on a sensual platform, right? So you just block the senses somehow. And everybody had an individual way to do it. You know, somehow or other, the senses comes first because they are the senses, right? Seeing, hearing, smelling, touching. So you just do something. And they are, devotees have their own ways, more subtle, more gross, how to do that. You know, yeah. I know devotees going in the street going, ah! And people go, what? 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 And then the senses are already. And then you'll be immediately. The whole thing, what I'm saying now, happens within not even 1 second. It's so fast. You know? It's like Gurkha warriors coming out of the jungle. He's dead. You know? So Sankirtan is a little bit like that. You come out of nowhere. Hello! That's the senses. Immediately you have to engage the mind. Because the mind immediately raises a doubt. What is it? And how you engage the mind? By sound vibration. We know that from chanting. So you go, hello, and do something, some sound. You have to speak. And always keep eye contact, because the eyes are the most, you know, expressive part of the body. If you meet somebody, you don't look at his feet, you look at, you know, you look at the eyes. So you look in the eyes. The book, immediately in the hand, so they can touch it. So the touch is engaged, the eyes are engaged, the hearing is engaged. And then, when you cross the mind, the intelligence, perverted as it is, always tries to find a way how to reject that. How can I say no? And then again, you have to produce a sound to engage the intelligence with the hearing. The worst comes, instantly after that comes the false ego. What? Me? Approached like this, buying something on a street? No. I never do things like that. I buy things only according to my choice. I didn't choose the situation. I didn't choose you coming here. It's a false ego coming up. So the Sankirtan devotee is faster. He charms the false ego. It's only for great people with special intelligence. Yes, welcome. Such a big ego. No, that's for you. That's for people with a big ego, not with small ego. That's for you. Okay, all right. And this happens within 1 second. The qualification for that, of course, you have to be inspired. And you have to be free of doubt, because they will have a doubt all the time. And you have to have a desire. This can grow on a level. When Prabhupada was here, it was easy. Everybody was so charged with memories of Prabhupada and being inspired. I remember the most absurd, actually, nowadays when you speak about it, you think, how was that possible? When Prabhupada was arriving in Germany in 1974, when I was initiated, I was only 2 years in Sankirtan, somebody got the brilliant idea, typical German idea, we are all going to go one day out, everybody, and in one day we will collect Mercedes for Prabhupada. We buy him a Mercedes car. It's a typical German idea. Prabhupada needs a Mercedes car because he comes to Germany, right? So that day, everybody went out. Everybody. Even the pujari, everybody was out. Even devotees who never actually normally regularly distributed anything. So I was only 2 years on Sankirtan, so I knew where to go. In a place where you can distribute from 8 in the morning to 4 o'clock next morning at night. There is such a town in Germany. It's a, downtown, and it's connected. So 8 o'clock we switch to downtown, where all the bars are and brothel houses and everything, where the people are. By midnight, we were so mad. I forgot even what I'm saying. My mantra went out. Not, hello, excuse me, not nothing of this. We just run to these people and we're going, he is coming! And people are going, yeah! And they gave donations. And it was completely crazy. Nobody knew what's going on. Neither the devotees, neither the gamis. They're going, he's coming. I saw devotees grabbing people, dancing with them on the street. Prabhupada is coming. Yay! People are going, oh, that's great. And nobody knew anything. So I remember 4 o'clock in the morning, we met at the car. We were completely mad, just laughing. And we just drove then to the temple, 2-3 hours, and dropped into the Guru Puja right away in the morning, completely crazy, with Sankirtan bag hanging still around the shoulder and dancing. And it was demonstrating to me once again that Sankirtan as such in preaching is not on a platform we sometimes try to pull it down to. We try to rationalize. We have to know what we are doing, really. Do you know how you develop love of Godhead? Can you follow it up? Right? It's a thermometer, Love of Godhead coming up. Really? This is not the nature of this movement. This is a transcendental movement. It's on a spiritual platform. Now, we have lots of logic to present in the frame of our preaching, naturally. Like to understand we are not this body, it's a logical fact. I just heard a lecture from Prabhupada in a school program. He's actually doing a school program in a school. So Prabhupada calls just a boy, come here. And he said, Zo, who are you? He said, oh, that's me. Brother said, no, this is your chest. That's me. No, this is your head. And the boy starts to laugh and he said, well, I'm a student. I said, no, that's just the place where you are, school, but that doesn't still say anything about you. Who is you? And then ultimately the Bhagavad, I don't know. And that's how Prabhupada starts a lecture. Where he actually, in a school program, completely smashes the whole school system, everything. There's teachers present, and he goes to the children, he goes, they are all teaching you nonsense here. They don't tell you who you are. How can you learn anything if you don't even know who you are? If you don't know who you are mad. It's a fact. So, it's just simple. This logic. It's common sense thinking. You don't have to believe in anything. You don't have to be even religious. You just follow logic. That's all. Every day they say, my body, my mind, my leg, my head. So when it's mine, okay, then where's you? This is your property, and where's you? Listen what you are saying. This is mine, so where's you? It's such a simple thing. Nobody investigates. Nobody cares. Just let's all pour it into the body. And paint it all and dress it up and the whole day just this. And then what about you? I always tell them, When you drive a car, you come to a gas station, well, there's petrol for the car, and then there's also some food they are selling for the driver. But here we are just tanking the cars. Where's the food for the driver? What do you know even that, you know, that you are the driver, you are not that car, so no wonder you are hungry. Because they never give you any food. You are not satisfied. And this is actually what is addressed here in Krishna consciousness. Of course, demons like Kamsa, they never know. And they don't care to know. Their concern is always control, power, you know, territorial concern. This is mine, this is me, and this is mine. You know, you have to be careful in Krishna consciousness, especially those who inherited Prabhupada's empire, that we don't start to sing the same way. This is me and this is mine. Really. There's nothing more quickly changing between devotees as you position in a managerial sense or something like that. You know, this can change quickly. What doesn't change is that we are servants. We are always servants. That was one of the pillars Prabhupada was preaching on. Just understand that you are always serving. You will be always serving somebody or something. So why not Krishna? Make a choice. We can choose who do you want to serve. Because serving you will do, one way or another. We must serve. So that's what demon will never accept. He said, no, I must be a master all the time. I'm not a servant, I'm a master. And when you actually carefully follow that virus, we are all a little bit infected by that. As soon as a little chance arises, well, the servitude is over. Now I am a master, you know. At least I'm a master servant. At least I'm, you know, something big. Something, some territory I need, something to dominate I need. Yes, and Krishna gives. Krishna gives us amazing opportunities. Look at this, I can just sit here. There is definitely devotees here present who can give 1,000 times better lectures and speak very amazing realization of Krishna consciousness. And me here, I can just sit and you sit here and listen. You think I will get such an audience when I'm not in Krishna consciousness? For sure not. I will try to get also maybe some followers and say something important. Who cares? Nobody follows actually anybody in the material world much, unless you don't provide some money. You know, nobody cares. But here in Krishna consciousness, very quickly you get people will listen what you say, because you have something to say. And it's only due to Prabhupada. And Krishna, of course, but without Prabhupada, where? Wouldn't get even the idea that I would one day sit in England, in such a wonderful place, and speak. Completely another life. Prabhupada gave us a new life. Without him, especially as I mentioned, no culture background, nothing. I never heard about Krishna until I was 18 years old. Nothing, no information. It was a bizarre imagination. I could even look like that. No, Prabhupada said, this is your life. And this is you, actually. Real you. And then you realize, actually, yeah, that's real me. And more, there was one devotee nicely commented, the more you understand the karmis, and the more you actually appreciate them, well, the more you admire. That's actually, it sounds too suddenly logical to you, right? Oh yeah, they have so many nice things to say. And actually, regarding description of this world in a negative sense, yeah, karmis are genius. They can depress you like anything. They write books how it's all... They know perfectly well what male-female relationship is about. Yeah, description of lust, sex, eating, sleeping, defending, perfect literature. They know. They even know it's temporary. That's existentialism. They know. It's like a dream. Yeah. But Prabhupada immediately said, if it's a dream, then why are you so attached to it? Stop dreaming. Wake up. Jeev Jago. Wake up. No. I want to dream. That's what Prabhupada called rascal. He basically divided this world in two departments, rascals and fools. Fools, they don't even know. They just, well, it's nice. I like it. They don't know. And the rascal, he knows there's some problem here. There he knows. He can even understand what devotee is talking sometimes, but he will do nothing about it. He's very determined. You find like in Kamsa's case, there's a section in Bhagavatam. He speaks very nice philosophy. How we are not this body, and you know, it's very, very nice talk, very good lecture. But then, the next second, he will act like he is the body. Because there is no vijnana realization. And this is what actually makes devotee ecstatic. It's not just the jnana department, the knowledge accumulation department. It's the practical application which Prabhupada gave us. So much, sometimes Prabhupada got criticized even by his own god brothers. Swamiji is doing always something. He's doing so many things, managing and building and organizing. And this is, we should more study, more. You know, no. Prabhupada gave us a very practical way. We can talk so many things. I can talk now so many things. Yeah, sure. But what about after? What about when we start to act? That's where the challenge comes. So that's like the curse of a temple president. He can give a nice lecture, and after the lecture he goes, okay, now today we have to do this and this and this. And everybody goes, oh no, now he's not nice. He was so nice in the lecture. No, he's not nice. Because now comes action. And action means you have to make decisions, you have to make, you have to discriminate. Okay, this is to be done, this cannot be done. This, then things get more complicated. And that's the field Prabhupada gave us to prove our Krishna consciousness. That's actually the battlefield. That's like Bhagavad Gita was spoken, then came the battle. Prabhupada said, not that at the end of the talk, Arjuna declared, yes, Krishna, I understood. You are the doer. And he sat back of his chariot smoking ganja. That was not the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. No. That actually was the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, where everybody started to fight. And there, real problems arose. It wasn't easy. Challenges. Moments of defeat. It was all the time. What a complicated thing. So therefore Krishna chose. It's amazing, isn't it? Why didn't he choose Bhagavad Gita to speak somewhere in a forest? Nice. Actually he did when he spoke to Uddhava. But that was an abridged version to Uddhava, so he can preach when Krishna departs. Anyway, but with Arjuna, I mean, since when is a battlefield a place you speak philosophy, really? You speak strategy, you speak, you know, warfare, right? No, that's where Krishna spoke his Bhagavad Gita, on the battlefield. And to whom? To a kshatriya, to a grihastha, who was certainly very involved with this world by killing people. And what a decision he had to take. If you imagine, he had to make a decision. Am I going to kill even on the other side my teachers? I have to kill even devotees. And what a devotees, you know. You know, Bhishma, and what a devotees. But still they had to die because they were on the wrong side. So what a decision to make. There was no wonder Arjuna said, okay, I will not fight. This doesn't make any sense. And Krishna explained, no. Because of that, you have to act. You are not supposed. Therefore, such a word like depression for devotee. Yeah, I know there is such a disease. I know there is a disease. But essentially, when many devotees go, I'm so depressed. It's sense gratification. What? Who gave you the right to be depressed? Since when Krishna told you to be depressed? Come on. Just keep on going. And actually, when you think about it, there is no way. It's ahetuki apratihata. It cannot be stopped by material circumstance. Nobody can stop you serving Krishna. Even they'll cut out your tongue, you can think about Krishna. Who can stop you? Even even so many obstacles, and sooner or later, every devotee can, I think any senior devotee can say, oh yes, not easy sometimes. This is my personal fear. I don't want to be a senior Vaishnava. Senior in a sense that I look so depressed that no new bhakta will be inspired anymore.
Yeah,
because every devotee in his life experiences defeats, setbacks. So sometimes it's very senior devotee, so senior goes, it's not easy, not easy. It's very difficult. That's how you want to inspire a new bhakta. You know, he goes, oh no, how long are you in Krishna consciousness? 40 years. And I tell you, not easy. Very inspiring, really inspiring. And that's the beauty of preaching and book distribution, because you cannot allow yourself to be depressed. Of course, I know devotees actually who actually inspired by this, and they were actors. Now. They were walking on the street and they looked so depressed that people stopped, you know, and they were going, what happened? And he said, horrible world, but I have a book here. You can distribute books from any position, you know. Anybody can distribute a book. Just to stop him. You know. Just to catch the senses. My God, this man is depressed. I saw devotees when they are in ecstasy, they can do anything. They go, help, help, help. What? What happened? I'm dying. No, really? Are you? You too. Just a little bit later. Hey, take a book. You can use anything. You can use anything just to stop him and give him a book. People laugh. Oh, we are all dying, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I mean, who can deny that? It's a fact. I always quote the story of this Mataji in Italy, when I was in Italy, you know. It was a Mataji, she had some problems, so she went to the doctor and he examined her and he said, it's very serious. I have really bad news for you. You have cancer. You will die. She looked at him and she said, well, I have also some news for you. You will also die. Maybe a little bit later, but you know. The doctor was shocked. He said, you don't understand. You will die. And she said, no, you don't understand. You will die too. He never met such a patient. He was completely confused. And you know, the joke is that she didn't die. Somewhat miraculously, she recovered. But I like that story. I was like, he will die. Well, what do you mean? Everybody will die. You too. It's just, I know it and you don't. That's the difference. So this is how I joined this movement, you know. Because somehow I had that realization from very early childhood, we are all going to die. So I was a very quiet and very depressing person, you know. I even found a friend. I was studying art and I found a friend who was exactly on the same wavelength. He was a German. I'm not a German, but he was a German, so he really... Germans like this pathos, you know, this dying, self-sacrificing pathos. Hey! You know, this is German. Anyway, that's the German rasa. But he loved that. He was exactly that kind of person, you know, we are dying. I mean, us two teaming up, we were just friends because of that. You know, oh yeah, we are all dying. Yeah, we are all dying. We were such a famous couple. Whenever he appeared in some student party or something like this, they were going, oh no, they are coming, get them out. Because we all came in and we were all, we are going, you are all going to die. We are all dying, you know, and who wants to have somebody in a party like this, you know. So they always threw us all out. And the shocking momentum came when I met devotees. I said, actually, initially, they are these amazing people. They are laughing, dancing, feasting. Great, but I said, but you know, you are all dying. And they were going, yeah, that's right. And they were dancing even more. I was going, whoa, whoa, whoa. I never met people like this. It's only a madman or somebody who really knows something you don't who can respond like this. So I was going, that's interesting. You know, what? Why are you laughing? I told you, you are dying. And they're going, yeah, you too. Chain Hare Krishna, you know, and they like that. So then I got really curious. What kind of people are these? And then you realize more and more, yes, we are laughing and dancing beyond death. This is the nature of this movement. Because let's face it, yes, we will all disappear, we are all going to go, you know, it's unavoidable. I will also be one day finished with this. It's nothing. Actually, so many of my good brothers and devotees I knew, they are not here anymore. They are gone. I would like to speak to them. No, I cannot. They are gone. So it's not actually a nice thing, but it's a fact. It's going to happen. When one understands that, one becomes naturally more aloof and more tolerant towards the circumstances one is facing. Because there will be some trouble, there will be some problem, there will be some challenge, there will be some opposition. That's unavoidable. That's the world we are living in. So one takes it a little bit more. If the awareness comes of the temporality and this body, one becomes more tolerant. And one becomes more enthusiastic to engage in a spiritual side. Chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And that all comes in a mood of preaching. This is a preaching movement. It's not an international society for money making, for famous becoming, you know, or whatever. Sorry, this is the wrong place. If you want these things, it's the wrong place. Famous, you think, yeah, you can become very quickly famous, but also very quickly infamous. It goes very fast. You know, this is, you know, who is you? Oh, I'm the senior Vaishnava. I saw so many senior Vaishnava. You know, so this is like, don't count on it. This is not a, you know, a husband finding movement, wife finding movement. This is, you will do. You know, but the real amazing thing is these things come automatically. You get them as a bonus on the way, aside. You get it. It's no problem. I got so many things in Krishna consciousness without asking for it. Right now I'm experiencing something I didn't ask for. Right now I did that. So, therefore, Krishna gives. But when he sees you are misusing what he got, then he always is careful. He gives only what we can take. Therefore, the book distribution success in UK, I am now in the United Kingdom of book distribution. This is amazing. It's just amazing. Especially traveling around the whole Europe. Sorry, I have to say the UK is on the top again. It's amazing. And how does this come about? It's only because of the sincere effort of the devotees and the mercy, which is responding to the sincere prayers and the sincere effort of the devotees. So it doesn't come by chance. It's just Krishna. And when we get puffed up, every Sankirtan devotee knows, you get puffed up, for every big devotee, there is a big Kamsa coming. You know. Soon you, this is the beauty of book distribution, is instantly self-purifying and correcting. Instantly. As you can get puffed up, here comes some really good big kami. We will show you. And in a terms of arrogance and pride, they are the champions. You can never become puffed up like this. They are the winners. So this is natural. So we learn. This is such a wonderful service because you get instantly corrected all the time. Therefore, Prabhupada was so lenient with Sankirtan devotees because he knew they are getting washed every day. You know, those who distributed books, they enjoyed kind of this, you could call it almost friendly relationship to Prabhupada. He was going always, oh yeah, you're Sankirtan, so how was it? How was it? And Prabhupada liked to listen to the Sankirtan stories and this. He knew they are getting corrected every day. You cannot get puffed up on Sankirtan, at least not for long. The correction is coming. As a matter of fact, in any sincere devotional service, it's that difficult. Anything you do seriously is immediately purifying. Like, believe it or not, but I always, as a Sankirtan, I always admired the pujaris. Even this is a department which I never, you know, I just barely can make an achman. I don't know one thing. But when you do it for real, the life behind that, the austerity, the regulation, and all this you have to go through, It's anything you do for real, it's demands sincerity. Any sincerity is rewarded by Krishna with spiritual advancement and with bliss, joy. So this is the amazing thing on Sankirtan. The whole day you run around, people tell you, no, I don't want it, go home. It's rain, it's cold, it's terrible. And in the evening you come back and you are so blissful, you can hardly sleep. How is it possible? That proves that without satisfying Krishna, we cannot be happy. I really remember marathon days on book distribution. We couldn't sleep, we were so happy. I remember devotees waking up at night. We were sleeping in a car, you know. And they wake up at night. I woke up and there is somebody sitting in a sleeping bag next to me going, you know, if you give a little bit more. But he was not awake. He was still sleeping. I was going, hey, just take rest. Because he becomes so absorbed. We used to distribute books in a horizontal position out of the sleeping bag. That was really crazy. Sleeping in a car, you know, we had this kind of Mercedes vans where you can push the windows like this. And we were sleeping there at the edge of the forest in some remote place. And suddenly there was a, you know, it was me and Rohini Sutta Prabhu. And we had a fierce competition. We were just, you know, every day. So I had one book more that day as him. And he couldn't sleep properly. There was this guy coming out of the forest. You know, there's this car standing and suddenly whoosh, the window go open. And out of the window comes a hand with a book. And behind the hand, there's a guy lying in a sleeping bag. And he goes, hello, hello. And the man goes, whoosh. There's a car, hand, a book coming out. And he goes, what is it? What is this? And he goes, you know. Somewhat, the guy took the book. And then, you know, and Rohini Sutta closed the window and turned around and he was going, now we are even. And then he went to sleep. I mean, it's just... This is the bliss when you become one with the desire of the spiritual master. This is our definition of oneness. Become one in desire. He wants the books going out. We, you know, absorb the desires of strongly, so we become actually a tool to do so. That's the perfection of life. Okay, I don't know how much time I have. I'm always, you know, always have the temple president coming up. Just enough. So I don't want to, I am aware that everybody has enough service today, so I don't know what the time schedule is, you have to tell me then, to be managed. Huh?
Usually you have to wait 30, but if you have a question.
Question?